I push myself away from the toilet and find Kate's jaw dropped in shock. Who would believe it? But I saw the evidence plain and clear and plastered all over Jesse's back. I walked in on him, being whipped by Sarah.
Her eyes widen.
The mega bitch.
Yes, I nod, in case the word didn't make it out of my mouth. He was on his knees, Kate, like some sort of submissive slave. My tears start again, and my mind is invaded with the horrible images of my strong, self-assured man being willingly beaten. Oh, fuck. She rests her hand on my knee. Ava, his back is a mess.
I know,
I cry.
I saw it.
That was no kinky kicks. There was no pleasure element in it. Not on Jesse's part, anyway. Sarah could be a different story, though. Jesse wanted to be hurt. My stomach convulses.
Kate, I need to leave. He won't let me. I know he won't let me go.
A look of determination invades her pretty pale features, and she rises to her feet. Wait here.
Where are you going?
My voice sounds panicky. He'll barrel back in here as soon as Kate exits. I know he will. John's taken Jesse to his office. I'm just going to check, though. She opens the door and shuffles past my slumped body. I hold my breath, waiting for a commotion, but it doesn't come. The door opens and closes, and then there's silence. I'm alone. I stand myself up, but my legs are weak and shaky as I attempt to wipe the toilet down, and then the toilet door opens and I freeze, holding my breath.
Ava, Kate whispers, tapping the door gently. Jesse's in his office with John. Sam will get the gates.
I open the door and catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror before I'm pulled out of the toilet cubicle and yanked toward the door. I look god-awful.
Wait, I need some water.
I shake Kate off and take myself to the sink, leaning over to splash my face and swill my mouth. Here, have some gum. Kate shoves a stick in my mouth. I'm now weighing up the merits of alcohol. Would I have preferred to have found him drunk? Yes, without a doubt. I would have faced that merciful creature rather than witness him being beaten. He really is self-destructive. Grief turns into anger as I consider his reactions to a few bruises on my backside when I took a trip in Margot Senior, and his face when he clocked my bruised arm after my run-in with Mr. Baldyjag. How over the top he was! Before I have a chance to declare my intention of tracking Jesse down and demanding some answers, he comes barging back into the toilets in a blind panic. I notice his eyes have cleared of the glaze as they land on me, his chest damp, his dirty blonde hair dark with sweat. I can feel Kate's eyes passing between us as she assesses the situation. He starts toward me, and I make no attempt to stop him from doing what I know he's going to do. He leans down, scoops me up into his arms, and strides out of the toilets toward his office. He keeps his line of sight firmly forward as he walks with purpose, back through the summer room under the watchful eyes of some members, who are still floating around soaking up the spectacle. I'm aware of whispers and pointing as tears invade my eyes and start trailing down my cheeks. I'm in absolute agony. I feel sick to my stomach, and my heart feels like it's been sliced straight down the center. He kicks the door of his office shut and walks straight to the couch, lowering himself down on a wince. My stomach turns. His arms immerse me, and his head falls straight into my neck. He's silent, holding me as close as he can get me, while I try to control myself, try to control the shakes that are attacking my body. But it's a battle I can't win. My beautiful man has deep issues, And just when I thought I was figuring him out, I'm hit with a worst kind of wake-up call. I don't know him at all, and I certainly don't understand him. "Please don't cry," his muffled voice reaches my ringing ears. "It's killing me."
"Why?"
I ask. It's the only thing I can think to say. It's all I want to know. Why would he do this to himself? "I promised you I wouldn't have a drink."
"What?"
"He had himself beaten rather than have a drink? Because he promised me he wouldn't?"
"You wanted a drink?"
"I wanted to block it out."
"Look at me,"
I demand, but he makes no attempt to lift his head from its secluded location.
"Damn it, Jesse, look at me!"
I wriggle to try and get a grip of his head and pull it up, but he hisses in pain, and I still immediately. "3, I say calmly, not knowing what else to do. I feel him tense under me, but he still doesn't look.
2.
"What happens on 0? He asks quietly.
"I leave,"
I say calmly. His head flies up, and I whimper at the sight of him, his green eyes clouded, pain spilling out of them, his chin trembling. He gazes straight into my eyes. They are pleading silently to me.
"Please don't."
Any ounce of strength that was keeping me marginally together is shredded at the sight and sound of him. I clasp his face in my hands and put my lips on him, but I'm not close enough. I gingerly shift so I'm astride his lap and then pull him as close as I can get him without hurting him.
"Tell me what you're blocking out."
"Hurting you?" "I don't understand."
"Doesn't he think that this is hurting me? I would rather you had a drink."
"You wouldn't." He says it on a slight laugh that sends a nervous twinge through me. I pull back and search his eyes out.
"I would rather face you with half a vodka distillery inside you than see what I just saw."
He drops his head in shame. "Trust me, Ava, you wouldn't."
"Trust you? Jesse, I feel sick with betrayal.
I've not even thought about what I'm going to do to Sarah when I get my hands on her. She has marked my neurotic god, and the more all of this sinks in, the angrier I'm getting." I lift myself from his lap and bat him away when he tries to grasp me. "I'm not leaving," I say a bit too harshly. His panicked expression has me even madder. I start pacing his office, tapping my fingernail on my front tooth and under the intense gaze of my challenging man, who just keeps delivering on fucking challenges. God, I thrashed a belt at him on the launch night of Luso. Lowering myself on the sofa opposite him, I rest my aching head in my palms. I can hear him repeatedly drawing breath, as if he wants to say something. I exhale wearily and massage my temples. Is there anything else I need to know?
Like what?
He asks guardedly. I don't appreciate it, and how the hell would I know? He knocked me for 6 with this place, the drinking, and now this.
I don't know. You tell me.
I throw my hands up in annoyance. I desperately want to comfort him. Keeping myself away from him is hurting almost as much as bearing witness to his beating. Why would I prefer this to drunken Jesse? He leans forward delicately on a clenched jaw, resting his elbows on his knees, rubbing his temples thoughtfully.
Drink and sex go hand in hand for me.
What does that mean?
My voice is high and edgy.
Ava, I inherited the manor when I was 21. Can you imagine a young lad with this place and a whole lot of women ready and willing?
He looks ashamed. My mind starts racing. Oh, I can imagine all right. And it's no wonder the women were ready and willing. They still are.
You drank and dabbled?
He exhales.
Yes. Like I said, drink and sex go hand in hand. But it's all behind me.
He sits forward on a wince.
Now it's all about you.
He reaches across the big table that's positioned between us, but I pull back. His hand drops, and he looks down at the floor.
I still don't understand. And it still doesn't explain why he has just accepted a thrashing from Sarah.
So you didn't have a drink because you would have wanted to have sex?
My forehead must look like a road map, because I'm thoroughly confused. I don't trust myself with alcohol, Ava.
Because you think you will jump the nearest woman? He laughs nervously and runs his hands through his hair.
I don't think so. I couldn't do that to you.
You don't think so?
I'm shocked. It's not a risk I'm willing to take, Ava. I drink too much, lose reason, and women throw themselves at me willingly. You've seen it. He gives me an embarrassed smile.
I scoff. You didn't look very capable of anything last Friday.
Yeah, that's not my normal level of intemperance, Ava. I was on a mind-numbing mission.
So you usually maintain a steady level of drinking and then have lots of sex with lots of willing women?
I think I'm getting my head around this.
You've never had a drink when you've slept with me?
He gets up and shifts the table so he can kneel in front of me and rest his hands on my thighs. He looks straight into my eyes. No, Ava. I have never been under the influence of alcohol when I've had you. I don't need it. Alcohol blocked things out for me, made me forget how hollow my life was. I didn't give a fuck about any of the women I slept with, not one. And then you fell into my life, and things changed completely. You brought me back to life, Ava. I never wanted to touch the drink, because if I start, I might not stop. And I never want to miss a moment with you.
Tears start to prick at my eyes at his confession. Have you had sleepy sex with anyone else?
I hold my breath.
Of all the things to ask, I ask this. He sighs heavily.
No.
I narrow my eyes on him. What about a sense fuck?
Ava, no. I've never cared about anyone else enough to need or want to fuck any sense into them.
He squeezes my thighs. Only you. I push my hands away from my thighs and get up, leaving him crouched by the sofa, looking lost. So on Thursday, in your office, are you telling me that if you had drunk the vodka, I would have found you nailing Sarah on your desk, not just looking cozy with her on your desk? He gets up and stalks over to me, grabbing my hips to immobilize me before bending down to get into my line of sight.
No, don't be stupid.
I don't think I'm being stupid, I scathe. It's bad enough worrying about you drinking. I don't know if I can cope with the additional worry of you being drunk and wanting to fuck other women. I'm screeching, but I can't help it. He recoils.
Will you watch your fucking mouth? It doesn't make me want to fuck other women. It just makes me want to fuck.
So I had better ensure that I'm with you when you have a drink then, hadn't I?
I won't be having a drink. When will you listen to me, woman?
He shouts.
I don't need a drink.
He releases me harshly and stomps off toward the window and then back again. He points at me.
I need you.
And we're back to that. I slap his finger out of my face. You need me to replace drink and screwing. I want to cry. All he needs is to remove himself from a lifestyle that would kill him if he kept it up for much longer. I'm his escape from a certain premature death by alcohol poisoning. I think I might throw up again. He really is scared of me leaving, but it has nothing to do with how much he loves me. It's because he is scared
of returning to a hollow life.
You manipulate me.
I don't manipulate you.
He actually looks offended.
Yes, you do. With sex. Sense-fucking. Reminder-fucking. It's all manipulation. I need you, and you use it against me.
No,
he roars, and then swipes his arms straight across the top of the drinks cabinet, sending dozens of liquor bottles and glasses crashing to the floor, the sound of broken glass thundering around us. I jump back, but he stalks forward and grabs the tops of my arms.
I need you to need me, Ava. It doesn't get any simpler than that. How many times have I got to tell you?
As long as you need me, I look after myself. Simple. How is having yourself whipped looking after yourself?
I scream in his face. He drops me and grabs at his hair, virtually pulling it out.
I don't fucking know!
I look to the heavens above. This is hopeless. I do need you, but not like this.
He takes my hands.
Look at me, he demands harshly.
I drop my head back down so we're at eye level again.
Tell me, how do I make you feel? I know how you make me feel. Yes, I've had lots of women, but it was all just sex, mindless sex, no feelings. Ava, I need you.
I look at my handsome, troubled, neurotic rogue, looking me straight in the eyes, and I want to scream at him, bang his head against a wall, and knock some sense into him the conventional way.
How can you need me if I make you do this to yourself?
I ask tiredly.
You're more self-destructive now than you were before me.
I've made you need alcohol, not want it. I've made you into an unreasonable, crazy man, and I'm certainly not stable anymore.
Don't you see what we're doing to each other?
Ava,
his tone is warning. He knows where I'm headed.
Don't.
And for the record, I hate the fact that you've slept around. I need him to know this, but then the most horrific thought slams into my head. I gasp.
When you disappeared for 4 days,
I can't even finish. My heart has just jumped into my throat and exploded. His eyes widen at my obvious conclusion, his mouth tightening, the muscles in his jaw ticking.
They meant nothing. I love you. I need you.
Oh, God.
I fall to my knees. He hasn't denied it.
You were fucking other women.
My palms find my face as the tears start again, and a massive hole is punched straight through my stomach. He joins me on the floor, clenching my arms, shaking me.
Ava, listen to me. They meant nothing. I was falling in love with you. I knew I would hurt you. I didn't want to hurt you.
You said you couldn't do it to me. You forgot to add again. You should have said you couldn't do it to me again.
I didn't want to hurt you,
he whispers. My defeated face comes up.
So to remedy that, you fucked other women?
My stomach is turning. I can't breathe.
How many?
Ava, please don't. I hate myself.
I hate you too,
I cry, my shoulders jerking. As I sob, relentlessly.
How could you?
Ava, why are you not listening to me?
I am. And I don't like what I'm hearing.
I scramble to my feet, but he grabs my waist to prevent me from walking away. He rests his forehead on my stomach, and I watch through my hazy vision as his own shoulders start jerking.
I'm sorry. I love you.
Please, I beg you, don't leave me. Marry me.
What?
I cry. We've not even spoken of the issue at hand, and I'm already balancing on the edge of a complete breakdown. This is the death blow.
I can't marry someone who I don't understand.
I utter the words quietly through my heaves and feel him sag before me on a sharp intake on breath. I can see the angry welts and beads of blood across his back. I feel sick again. I thought I was working you out. My voice is trembling. You've destroyed me again, Jesse.
Ava, please. I was a mess. I lost control. I thought I could fight you out of my head.
By getting pissed and fucking other women.
I didn't know what to do,
he says quietly.
You could have talked to me.
Ava, you would have run away from me again.
All of the apologies you've been giving me were because your conscience was eating away at you. It wasn't because you were drunk or because of the manner. It's because you screwed around on me. You said you hadn't dabbled since way before me. You've lied to me. Every time I think we've made progress, more bombshells. I can't cope with this anymore. I don't know who you are, Jesse.
Ava, you do know me.
He looks up at me with pleading eyes.
I've fucked up. I've really fucked up. But no one knows me better than you. No one.
Sarah might do. She seems to know you very well, I say with zero emotion. Why? He collapses onto his heels and drops his head.
I've let you down. I wanted a drink, but I promised you I wouldn't. And I know what's likely to happen if I do.
I wince at his admission. So you had yourself whipped?
Yes.
My stomach joins my heart in my throat.
I don't understand.
His head remains dropped.
Ava, you know I've led a colorful life.
His voice is quiet. He's ashamed.
I've broken marriages, treated women like objects, and taken what's not mine. I've damaged people, and I feel like all of this is my penance. I found my little piece of heaven, and I feel like everyone is going out of their way to take it away from me.
The lump in my throat grows further. You are the only one who's going to fuck this up. Just you. You drinking. You being a control freak. You fucking other women. You!
I could have stopped it all. I can't believe I've got you, Ava. I'm terrified you're going to be taken away from me.
So you ask a woman I despise, a woman who wants to take you away from me, to whip you?
He frowns as he looks up to me.
Sarah doesn't want to take me away from you.
I shake my head in frustration.
Yes, Jesse, she does. You doing this to yourself is agony for me. You are punishing me, not you.
I'm desperate for him to see this.
I love you, despite all of the shit you keep landing on me. But I can't watch you do this to yourself.
Don't leave me.
He grinds the words out, reaching up and grabbing at my hands.
I'll die before I'm without you, Ava.
Don't say that, I shout at him. That's crazy talk.
He yanks me back down to my knees.
It's not crazy. That nightmare I had when you were gone. Just like that, gone. It gave me a clue of what it would be like without you.
He's in such a state.
Ava, it killed me.
His repeated apologies in his sleep make sense now. If I leave, it would be because I can't watch you hurt yourself. I can't watch you torture yourself anymore.
You could never understand how much I love you.
He reaches for my face and I pull away.
That statement just makes me fuming mad.
Let me touch you, he demands, trying to grab at me. He's becoming frantic and panicked, and it's ripping my insides out.
I do understand, Jesse, because I feel the same, I yell. Even though you fucked me over completely, I still fucking love you, and I fucking hate myself for it, so don't you dare tell me I don't understand.
It's not possible.
He grasps the tops of my arms and pulls me forward on a hiss.
It's just not fucking possible.
His voice is severe. He really does believe that. I let him pull me into his chest and smother me, but I can't even put my arms around him. I'm emotionally drained and completely numb. My strong, dominant playboy is reduced to a frightening, desperate soul. I want my fierce Jesse back. I'm going to get something to clean you up with. I struggle from his fighting arms. Jesse, I need to clean you up.
Don't walk away from me.
I break free and stand myself up. I said I would never leave you. I meant it. I turn and leave him on his knees, walking from his office in a complete daze. I'm not going to get anything to clean him up. A bit of attention on his wounds isn't going to prove anything. There is only one way I can get him to comprehend that I understand how he feels. And if that's what it takes, then I'll do it. Chapter 31. I bypass the toilets, the busy bar, and the restaurant quickly. It won't be long before he comes looking for me, so I need to be quick. I reach the entrance hall and take the stairs two at a time, walking quickly around the gallery landing and ignoring the women's harsh stares. But then I spot her. She's chatting to a few female members, no doubt filling them in on the events of the past hour. She's still kitted out in her leather gear, whip still in hand. I approach and stop behind her, and the other women silence immediately. Obviously curious about the sudden halt in conversation, she turns to face me. Her expression is superior, with a little sick satisfaction mixed in there too. It makes my blood boil further as she stands in front of me, relaxed in her pose, twirling the whip in her grasp. You sent me a text from John's phone, I accuse calmly. She almost laughs. I don't know what you're talking about. Of course you don't, I shake my head disbelievingly. You also let me into the manor when I discovered the communal room. Now why would I do that? She asks cockily. Because you want him. My voice is amazingly calm, considering I feel lethal and I'm physically shaking. The other women's stares are burning through my skin as I spread my gaze over all of them. You all want him. None of them say a word. They just all stand there watching me, probably anticipating my next move. Sarah can't keep her trap shut, though. No, little girl. We've all had him. I snap. My fist bunches and flies out, cracking her clean across her Botox-pumped face, sending her staggering back on her heels and to her ass. I don't stop there. I grab her hair in the most unladylike, cattish fashion and haul her up, pinning her against the wall by her throat. Shocked gasps ring out through the air before silence falls, and the only sound is Sarah's stunned breathing. You ever lay a finger on him again, requested or not, and I won't stop until I've snapped every bone in your fucking body. Do you understand me? Her eyes are wide. I can feel her shaking under my hold. Do you understand me? I scream the words in her face. I've lost control. Yes, she squeaks quietly, shifting under my vice grip on her throat. I'm restricting her breathing. I release her, and she crumbles to the floor in a heap of leather, gasping and gripping at her neck. I'm shaking with anger as I turn and absorb the shocked expressions of my many witnesses, all standing in stunned silence. I don't need to say any more. I've made my point pretty clear to Sarah and every other person standing observing my meltdown. I leave them all and carry on my way to my original destination, shaking violently, breathing heavily. As I reach the bottom of the stairs to the communal room, I waver for a few seconds. But as soon as I remember Jesse's words, I race up the stairs with nothing but adrenaline and determination coursing through my veins. I enter the dimly lit room, ignoring the few scenes playing out in front of me, while trying to blank out the erotic music drowning my hearing. I'm not here to be turned on. I head to the right and find myself where I want to be. Two men are talking quietly while a woman puts her underwear back on, and as I approach the scene, they all turn their attention on me, the conversation ceasing as I get closer. One of the men watches me cautiously while the other eyes me approvingly, his face breaking out into a dark smile. I kick my shoes off and pull my t-shirt up over my head before throwing it to the floor and unfastening my jeans. "Come to play, sweetness," one of the men drawls as he starts toward me.
"Steve, leave her," the other guy warns. He clearly recognizes me.
I throw him a filthy look and he shakes his head.
"She wants to play, don't you, sweetness?"
His eyes are dark but sparkling at me.
"She's Jesse's girl, Steve. It's not worth it."
His friend tries to reason with Steve, but he looks like he's on a mission and doesn't like being told what to do, which is just what I need.
"All's fair in sex and the manner," Steve quips on a smirk. "What can I give you, sweetness?"
"Seriously, Steve, she's special to him."
"She's special, right? Now she can be special for me, too. Ward has never had an issue with sharing before."
His words stir the bile that's coating my throat, and I watch as the sensible man grasps the woman's arm and pulls her away with a cautious look all over his face. This Steve, though, he's cocky and confident, but not in an attractive way. Not that it matters. I'm not planning on kissing him. I walk over to the stand by the wall and pick out the fiercest-looking whip I can find before turning and handing it to him with steady hands. Any reluctance will foil me, and this is the only way that I can demonstrate to Jesse how crazy all of this shit is. His face spreads into a wide smile as he accepts the whip and runs his eyes down my semi-nakedness. I remove my jeans and walk over to stand myself under the suspended gold frame and hold my hands above my head. No contact. Just the whip. Hard. My voice is clear and totally resolute. I feel resolute. I have no fear or hesitations at all.
"Hard?" he asks.
"Very hard."
"What about your bra?"
His eyes are fixed firmly on my chest. "The bra stays."
"Fair enough."
He nods and saunters over, tucking the handle of the whip in his back pocket, before reaching up to secure my hands in the manacles on the gold suspended frame.
"Steve! You need to stop!" another voice calls.
"It's none of your business," I grate.
"You heard her. She wants this."
Steve looks up at me with hooded eyes filled with lust before he starts walking around the back of me. My heart starts a heavy, steady thump in my chest, and I close my eyes, reciting Jesse's words over and over. "It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible." I blank my mind of everything, except those words, The music fades, and I brace myself for my own punishment. My punishment for reducing Jesse to a fraught mess of a man, for making him need alcohol, not just want it, for turning him into an uptight neurotic freak, for making him do this to himself. I hear it before I feel it. A fast, sharp whip through the air before it connects with my back. I cry out, "Holy fucking shit!" The thrash sends a continuous stabbing pain radiating throughout my entire body, and my legs turn to jelly. I keep my eyes firmly shut. It's only now I realize that we didn't agree on a number of strikes. I hold my breath and grit my teeth as a second lash falls across my back and mentally plead with myself to keep quiet and accept the beating. I tense myself, waiting for the next hit, and when it comes, I release my body and hang helplessly from the frame. I am at the complete mercy of this stranger. The fourth, fifth, and sixth thrashes connect at even intervals until I'm familiar with when to expect the strikes, and I've completely numbed out what I'm doing. I'm unaware of my surroundings. The music is dull in the distance, and the voices around me are quiet. The only thing I'm alert to is the timing between each lash and the air whipping before the leather connects with my flesh. I might be unconscious. I'm not sure. I'm not even tensing anymore. Another thrash connects with my back, and I jerk again, my back arching, my head flying back. No! The roar I know so well snaps me to the here and now, as another burning snap spreads across my back. I buck in shock, the metal restraints clanking loudly above my head. I can't open my eyes. My head is heavy, my body lifeless, and my arms are lacking any blood and feeling in them. Jesus, Ava! No! His voice is loud but broken. My body starts swinging slightly, and I feel his warm hands all over me. John, release her hands. Oh, God, no, 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 no! Motherfucker! John, fucking hell, get her down! Ava! He sounds terrified. I'm grabbed and stroked all over as I feel the tampering of big, clumsy hands on mine. It feels like forever, but it's probably only a few seconds before my body falls down like lead. I'm limp in his arms. Ava! Oh, God, please! Ava! I'm vaguely aware of being moved. And then the pain kicks in. Oh, good God! My flesh feels like it's on fire. Pain emanating from every single nerve ending across my back and beyond. I'm being shuffled about, and I can't even speak to tell him to stop. I've never felt pain like it. Don't let him go anywhere. Jesse's voice is muffled, but I know who he's talking about. And through my haze, I realize I've probably just sent Steve to his death. I need to stop that. I asked him to do this, although I'm wondering why the hell I did right now. I really am completely crazy. But then I remind myself of the reasons behind this. He might not be so willing to do this to himself if he's faced with me following suit. My crazy side and my sane side are having an argument in my head, and I can hear Jesse's thundering footsteps and many shocked gasps as I'm carried through the manor. What the fuck? Kate's shocked voice is distant. Jesse? He doesn't answer. All I hear is John's low rumble fading in the background along with all the other commotion that I have caused. I don't care. A door slams, and a few moments later, I feel the sofa beneath his thighs as I'm cradled in his lap. You stupid, stupid girl, he sobs on a cracked voice. I feel him buried in my neck, inhaling into my hair and frantically stroking my head.
You crazy, stupid girl.
I drag my eyes open and stare blankly across his chest. I'm in so much pain, but I have no desire to move or voice my discomfort. I feel sedated, like I'm floating on the outside, observing this shocking scene from afar. What if my attempts to make Jesse see my point of view fail? What if he does punish himself again? I couldn't bear to go through this again, and not just because I'm in absolute agony. I couldn't bear to see Jesse on his knees, accepting lashes dished out by Sarah or by anyone for that matter. Not that I'll ever be able to scratch that image from my mind. It'll be etched there forever. I don't know how long we sit in silence, me staring into the distance, completely detached from the circumstances, and Jesse sobbing into my hair. It feels like hours, maybe longer. I've lost all sense of time and reality. There's a knock at the door.
What?
Jesse's voice is fragmented and low, and he sniffs a few times. The door opens, but I don't know who it is. My eyes have been staring into space for such a long time, I think they may have set in place. I hear some movement close by, and something being put on the table in front of us, but whoever it is doesn't speak. They leave just as quietly, the office door shutting almost silently. Jesse moves slightly under me, and I inhale on a sharp, painful hiss. He stills.
Oh, Jesus.
He sounds fraught.
Baby, I need to move you. I need to see your back.
I shake my head mildly and press my face into his bare chest. It's going to hurt like hell when he moves me. I want to delay it for as long as possible. His own back is a bloodied mess, and he's leaning back on the sofa with me on his lap, pressing into him. He must be in some serious pain himself. He sighs and rests his chin on the top of my head.
Why?
He croaks, kissing my head.
I don't understand.
If I could talk, I would be throwing that back at him.
Ava, I need to see your back.
He makes to move again, and pain slices through me, but I clench my dry eyes shut and let him move me until I'm sitting up on his lap. The gravity smacks right into my stomach, and I'm suddenly heaving, my stomach convulsing, my body jerking, which only serves to increase the pain further. I double over on his lap.
Oh, God, Ava!
He places his hand on my back, in an instinctive move to soothe me. The hot contact of his hand has me jolting forward on a cry, and my stomach deciding that yes, there is something left to evacuate. I throw up all over his office floor.
Shit, Ava! I'm sorry. Oh, fuck!
He pulls my hair from my face and tentatively moves to get better access to me.
Fuck! Fuck, Ava! What have you done?
His traumatized voice tells me my back must look as bad as it feels. I'm desperately trying to get a handle on the retching in an attempt to minimize the pain.
I'm going to move you now, okay?
He grasps me under my arms and stands. I cry out.
I can't lift you without touching you.
He grunts a few frustrated curses as he tries to maneuver me to the other couch, without catching my back. My legs are still wobbly and unsteady. I never imagined this.
Get on your front.
He lowers me to the sofa on my stomach, and I put my arms under my head as a pillow.
Ava, I can't believe you've done this.
He kneels by the sofa and pulls over a glass bowl of water with a bottle of purple liquid. He squirts the liquid into the water and takes the roll of cotton wool, tearing some off before dipping it in the solution and squeezing off the excess.
This is going to sting, baby. I'll be gentle,
Okay. He puts his face in my field of vision, and my eyes lift with some effort, finding green pools of total anguish. I stare blankly at him, all muscles refusing to work. He lowers his lips to mine and kisses me gently, and it's the first time ever that I don't have to fight my body's reaction to his touch. He shakes his head, returning his attention to my back, and I pull in a severe, distressed breath as he unclasps my bra gently, letting the straps fall to the sides. Then I feel the soft cotton wool skimming over my skin. It feels like he's dragging barbed wire across my back. I sob. "I'm sorry," he blurts. "I'm so sorry." I turn my face into my arms and clench my teeth as he attempts to coat me in the solution, refreshing the cotton wool repeatedly and reloading it with the warm mixture for each painful swipe. He curses with each of my flinches. When I hear the bowl scrape across the table, I let out a long, thankful lungful of air. I turn my face back outward and see the purple-tinged water is now stained red, with used cotton wool balls piled in, soaking up the liquid. He gets up from beside me and returns swiftly with a bottle of water and crouches in front of me. "Can you sit up?" I nod and start the painful process of getting myself up into a sitting position on the couch, with Jesse flapping and cursing in front of me. My bra falls onto my lap, and I half-heartedly attempt to pull it back on. "Leave it." He pushes my hands away and puts the water into my grasp. "Open your mouth." I comply without thought, accepting the two pills he puts on my tongue. "Drink." The bottle feels like an iron weight as I lift it to my mouth. He must see me struggling, because he places his fingers on the base to alleviate the weight, and I welcome the ice water into my dry mouth. Jesse walks over to his desk and grabs his keys and phone, stuffing them in various pockets, before pulling his T-shirt over his head and walking back toward me. He gets my clothes from the back of the sofa and crouches back in front of me. "I'm taking you home." He opens my jeans at my feet and taps my ankle, then helps me put them up my legs. He looks from the T-shirt to my exposed breasts, and then to me with a slight frown. The thought of anything resting on my skin makes me want to vomit, but I can't be walking out of here and into Luso naked from the waist up.
"Can we try?"
He stretches the neck of my T-shirt and pulls my dangling bra from my arms before easing the shirt over my head. I start lifting my arms to accommodate Jesse's hold on the T-shirt, but tears start to stab at my eyes with the effort and painful stings. I shake my head frantically. It hurts too much.
"Ava, I don't know what to do."
He sounds desperate as he holds the material away from my body.
"Please don't cry."
He kisses my forehead as tears stream down my face.
"Oh, fuck it."
He pulls the T-shirt back over my head and throws it on the sofa.
"Come here."
Bending, he curls his arm under my bum and lifts me up with one arm.
"Wrap your legs around my waist, arms around my neck. Be careful."
I do as I'm told, slowly and carefully.
"Are you okay?" he asks.
I nod into his shoulder and link my ankles around the small of his back, feeling him pull my hair over my shoulder and rest his palm on the nape of my neck, holding me as tight as he can without inflicting further pain. My boobs are squished to his chest, my back completely exposed, but I couldn't care less. He strides to the door and releases my neck to open it before replacing his hand securely on my nape.
"Okay, baby,"
he asks, walking down the corridor into the summer room. I nod into his neck, but I'm far from okay. I feel like I've been lying directly on the sun, all of my skin burned away, exposing raw flesh.
"John,"
he yells.
There's a succession of shocked gasps, all sounding more shocked than when I was carried in.
"How's the girl?"
John's low voice is close by.
"How does she fucking look?"
"Get a cotton sheet from the cleaning quarters."
"Ava?"
Kate's fretting tone assaults my ears.
"Oh, fucking hell! What have you done, you stupid cow?"
"I'm taking her home."
Jessie's not stopping for anyone, not even Kate.
"She's fine. I'll call you."
"Jessie! She's bleeding!"
"I know, Kate. I fucking know."
I feel his chest rise under me.
"I'll call you."
I don't hear her again, but I do hear Sam soothing her, his usual chirpy voice layered with concern. I know we're getting close to the entrance hall because the cool air starts to slowly spread across my back. It's a welcome sensation.
"Jessie, mate, I didn't know."
We halt abruptly, and silence falls, all concerned chatter coming to a complete stop as I hear Steve's voice drift into my ears. I squeeze Jessie's body with what little strength I can find, and he nuzzles my neck.
"Steve, you want to be thanking all that's fucking holy I've got my girl in my arms, because if I didn't, the cleaners would be scooping up your remains for a fucking year."
Jessie's voice is acidic, his heart pounding wildly.
I...
Steve stammers and stutters over his words.
"I didn't know." "No one told you she was mine?"
Jessie asks, clearly shocked.
I assumed I... "She's mine," Jessie roars, jolting me in his arms.
I whimper from the flash of searing pain that his movement instigates, and he tenses, pushing his face into the crook of my neck.
"I'm sorry,"
he whispers. I feel his jaw ticking against me.
"You're a fucking dead man, Steve."
He stands still for a few moments, and I know he's glaring at Steve with murder carved all over his face. I feel responsible.
"Jessie!"
John's rumble breaks the screaming silence.
"It's all good. Priorities, yeah?"
"Yeah."
Jessie picks up his feet again, and the slow-building cool air is suddenly sharp and pelting at my back. He walks slowly down the steps.
"I'll get the door."
Kate's heels clatter down the steps.
"I've got it, Kate."
"Jessie, stop being such a pig-headed twat and accept the fucking help. You're not the only one who cares about her."
I'm squeezed against him.
"My keys are in my back pocket."
Kate's hand brushes over my jeans as she negotiates the keys out of Jessie's pocket, and I smile on the inside at my fiery friend living up to her reputation. My eyes open and catch Kate's.
"Oh, Ava."
She shakes her head and bleeps Jessie's car open. Jessie turns back toward the manor.
"Everyone needs to fuck off back inside."
He doesn't want anyone to see me. I hear the crunching of gravel under footsteps as Jessie waits with me in his arms, ensuring everyone has gone before he releases me from his body.
"Ava, I'm going to ease you down. You need to turn onto your side and face the driver's seat. Can you do that?"
he asks softly. I loosen my grip on his neck to show my willingness, and he begins slowly lowering me down into the car.
"Don't lean back."
I shift slowly on the soft leather until my shoulder is resting against the seat and I'm facing the driver's side.
"Fucking hell. It hurts."
He then lays a light sheet over me before shutting the door softly without even attempting to get the seatbelt over me. My head falls against the seat, my eyes close, and in no time at all, the driver door shuts and Jessie's scent invades my nose. I open my eyes and adjust my vision until I'm confronted with green, pitiful eyes. He reaches over and brushes my cheek with his knuckles.
"Stop,"
he orders, wiping another tear away. But I'm not crying with pain anymore. I'm crying in desperation.
Turning the engine over, he drives slowly down the driveway, the rushed, raw, and madcap driving skills that I fast become accustomed to sidelined for a sensible purr of the DBS's engine. He takes corners carefully, accelerates and brakes gently, and flicks his eyes to me at regular intervals. I remain still and stare blankly at the profile of my handsome, troubled man, and wonder whether I could be classed as troubled now, too. My sanity is certainly questionable, but I'm sane enough to admit that. I was a normal, sound-minded girl. I definitely don't qualify for that anymore. The silence of the journey home is filled only by the humming of the car and the background sound of Snow Patrol's Run. Chapter 32. I know if I stretch, I'll yelp really loud. The overwhelming need to spread myself out is playing havoc with my natural instinct to remain still and curtail the aching and stinging. All of the previous day's events come crashing into my head before my eyes open. All of the hideousness, all of the sounds of whips, the flashes of pain, the anguish and torment. It has all landed in my waking brain with a spectacular wallop, followed by a little greeting curtsy. My eyes open, and I spy Jesse. His hand is resting on my cheek, his face close to mine, his lips parted, and breathing steady, peaceful breaths onto my face. He looks so serene, his long lashes fanning his face, his hair its usual morning disheveled mop of dirty blonde. He has his morning stubble, and his untroubled, handsome face close to mine brings a small smile to me. Past all of his annoying, challenging ways is a deeply messed up man who drinks, fucks, and has himself whipped to punish himself. And I'm a huge contributing factor to his sorry state. I watch as his eyelids flicker and slowly open, blinking a few times before he focuses in on me. It takes a few silent moments, but he eventually sighs and inches himself closer to me until we are nose to nose. I don't feel close enough. I pull my arms from under the pillow and shift myself on a few winces. His hand rests on my hip to steady me, and he moves until our bodies are pressed together. "It is possible," I whisper through the incredible dryness of my throat, "to understand how you feel about me. It is possible."
"You did this to yourself to prove you love me?"
"No, you know I love you. I did it to show you what it feels like."
His brow furrows deeply. "I don't understand. I know what it feels like to be whipped."
"I don't mean that. I mean the agony of seeing the man I love hurting himself." I bring my hand up and stroke his stubble, and I see him begin to grasp my point. "Nothing will ever hurt me as much as seeing you doing that to yourself. That will kill me. Nothing else. If you punish yourself again, then I will too." My voice is slightly shaky, just at the thought of ever having to face another day like yesterday. "But if he loves me like he claims he does, then my request should be a very easy one for him to fulfill." His eyes dart around a bit, and he chews his lip as he starts shaking his head ever so faintly. His eyes fall back onto mine.
"You love me."
"I do. And I need you. I need you strong and healthy. I need you to understand how much I love you. I need you to know that I can't be without you either. I would die before losing you."
"I don't deserve you, Ava. Not after the life I've lived. I've never had anything I valued or wanted to protect. Now I have. And it's a bizarre mixture of total happiness and complete fucking fear."
His eyes scan every inch of my face.
"I crave control with you, Ava.
I can't help it. I really can't.
I know, I sigh. I know you can't.
I move into his chest and soak up his heat. For once, I feel like I completely understand him. He's had a life of not caring, of unfeeling, and complete disorder. He doesn't know what to do with all of this newfound emotion.
You're hurting because of me, he says into my hair.
And you are because of me. We deal with the past. As long as I have you, the strong you, then we deal with it. It's not your history that's hurting me. It's you, the things you are doing now.
I'm pulled from his chest. You're crazy mad, he says softly, pushing his lips to mine. Crazy, crazy mad.
I welcome his soft lips onto mine. It's the only part of me I can move without pain slicing me. I'm crazy in love with you. Please don't do that to yourself again. My back hurts.
He pulls back on a mild scowl. I'm still furious with you.
I'm not very happy with you either.
I can't touch you, he grumbles, kissing me again all over my face.
I know. How's your back?
He scoffs and continues covering my face with his lips. I'm fine. I'm just pissed at you.
We need to get you moving or you'll seize up.
I'm happy to seize up, I argue.
I'm happy to lie here and have him kiss me from head to toe.
Not a chance, lady. You need a lavender bath and some cream on your back. I can't believe out of all of my members you picked the most unstable one.
I did? I wasn't to know. I just handed the whip to the first man who would take it.
You did.
He drags his mouth away from my face and narrows displeased eyes on me.
John and I were due to have a meeting today to discuss revoking his membership. We've been monitoring him for a while. His behavior has become a little erratic lately, and while some of the women welcome the rough side of his sexual exploits, others not so much. He makes some women uncomfortable, and that's a problem.
A look of regret washes over his face, and I know he's thinking that he should have kicked Steve out sooner.
He hadn't done anything to warrant us getting rid of him until last night.
I asked him. I try and ease Jesse's guilt. I don't want a repeat of all of this.
There are rules, Ava.
He kisses me, biting my bottom lip lightly.
Did you discuss limits?
No. I realize how stupid I was now.
He's broken a lot of rules. He's got to go.
I don't remember him. He wasn't at the anniversary party.
I would have remembered that cocky face. No, he was on duty.
Duty? Jesse smiles. It's a welcome sight.
He's a cop.
I cough and then wince. What?
He's a copper.
You threatened to kill a cop?
I was crazy mad.
He pushes my hair from my face and gazes at me thoughtfully.
I've been thinking.
I don't like the sound of that. He doesn't look like he does either. What about?
Well, about a lot of things. But the first thing is that I need to talk to Patrick about Vanderhaus.
I knew I wasn't going to like what he said, but I can't see any way around this. Michael is probably the equivalent of Patrick's retirement fund, and I know he's going to pass out with shock when I tell him that I can't work with Michael anymore.
Oh, God.
It's Monday, I blurt, shifting a little in an attempt to get myself up. His hands swiftly press into my shoulders, pushing me back down.
Do you honestly think I'm letting you go anywhere?
He shakes his head.
Listen. That's not the only thing I've been thinking about.
He commences to chomp on his lip.
Oh, no.
What?
He pushes himself in closer to me. I can't ever be without you. I know that.
but it's not because I'm worried about reverting back to my old ways. I love you because you give me purpose. You filled a massive hole with your beautiful face and your spirit. And while I might be making your life a little more difficult with my challenging ways, he raises a sarcastic eyebrow. I want to throw that right back at you. I laugh hard and wince immediately afterward, but Jesse doesn't join me in my hysterics. His lips purse and his grip increases on my hip. I'm not challenging, Jesse Ward. His eyebrows jump higher. He obviously disagrees, but I slap my hand over his mouth to halt his counterattack. You just said that I filled a massive hole with my spirit. And your beautiful face, he mumbles into my hand. I roll my eyes. Part of that spirit is my incessant need to challenge your challenging ways. You'll never get rid of that tiny part of me that rebels against you, and you wouldn't want to. That's what makes me different from all the women of the manor, who've licked your boots for far too long. It's me who raises a sarcastic eyebrow now, and his eyes narrow slightly in return. I've given myself to you completely. Every part of me is yours. No one will ever take me away from you, not ever. And I know part of your issue is keeping me as far away from what the other women in your life represent. There have been no other women in my life, he argues through my hand. I push it harder to his lips. But I need to know something. His eyebrows rise. He can't answer because my hand is too tight on his lips. You want to keep me as far away from the women of the manor, but what about the sex? I ask, feeling him grinning against my palm. I take my hand away from his mouth. Yes, he's grinning that roguish grin. It's a beautiful sight, even if I'm not happy about his amusement at my question. He goes out of his way to dress me suitably, according to him, makes me wear lace. That request is suddenly very obvious, and he doesn't want me to drink. Oh, God. The reason for that has just landed with an enormous smack in my brain. You don't like me drinking because you think I'm going to do what you used to do when you were drunk. You think I'm going to want to fuck everything in sight. I practically screech the words at him, and his grin soon disappears. I have not even given him a chance to answer my previous question, and I'm lobbing him another. Well, not a question. More of a conclusion. Will you stop fucking swearing? He rolls onto his back, without so much as a hiss or spit of pain. Oh, no. I scramble up, ignoring my own pain, and straddle him. That's it, isn't it? That's the reason. I watch as he absorbs my words. He can't possibly argue with it. I know I've got him here. He takes a deep breath and opens his mouth to talk, but nothing comes out. He takes another, but still, nothing comes out. He does this 3 times before he eventually speaks. It's not just that, Ava. You're vulnerable when you're drunk. But it is part of the reason, isn't it? I know the other is men assuming I'm fair game. Yes, I guess so, he admits. Okay. What about the sex? This I really need to know. He wants to make me the opposite of all things mannerish, yet he fucks me stupid. The grin is back. I already told you this. I can't get close enough to you. Sleepy sex achieves that. Yes, it does. But we have an incredible chemistry. I've never felt it before. My heart gallops in my chest, and for the first time in nearly a day, it's with happiness. He's never felt it before, but he slept with dozens of women. Or is it hundreds? My smile disappears. What feelings? His hands rest on my thighs. It's pure bliss, baby. Total gratification. absolute, complete, earth-shifting, universe-shaking love. My smile is back. Yeah? Oh, yeah. Complete heaven. I fall forward onto his chest. Ouch! Careful. He pushes me back up. Does it hurt bad? A flash of anger flies through his eyes as he waits for my answer, and I pray that John has sent Steve packing before Jesse gets hold of him. It's fine, I shift. What am I going to do about work? Where's this weekend gone? I inwardly laugh. It's gone on lavish shopping trips, lavish food, lavish jewelry, lavish lace, a lavish party, a peculiar marriage proposal, lots of incredible sex, a drugging, whippings. I groan. It's been one hell of a weekend. Unravel your knickers. I've spoken to Patrick. Jesse sits up and shifts us to the edge of the bed. Is there anyone in my life who you haven't trampled? I ask dryly. He stands and places me on my feet, his wonderful nakedness right in front of me. Don't be cheeky, he warns with total seriousness. There are no whip marks on your ass, lady. Anyway, why does our home look like it's been ransacked by burglars? Oh, I forgot about that. I was looking for something. He frowns. What? He asks, but I detect a hint of cautiousness. I study him, assessing his expression and his body language. I can't fathom it at all. Nothing. He turns me away from himself and starts walking me to the bathroom, with one hand on my elbow and another cupping my bum.